America, indeed. What a blessing, what a privilege is ours to live in this country and the rich heritage we enjoy. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much for playing. And Heidi, what a beautiful rendition of To God Be the Glory. We appreciate that. I invite you to turn your Bibles to James, the book of James, if you have your Bible with you. James chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 17 and 18. James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every good, every perfect gift comes from above. I want to talk this morning about what I'm thankful for. This is Thanksgiving, and what I'm thankful for. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. When you stand and join me in prayer, give you time to stretch out a little again and look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Ask God to just grant us a special blessing as we open the Word this morning. Lord, thank you for this time together. We commit this time of preaching to you. I pray for your strength and help and blessing and grace and power. And I pray that we would listen intently, listen with our hearts and our minds, and give ourselves to you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for saving us, Lord. And it may be there's someone here this morning that doesn't know about salvation, has never trusted Christ as Savior. I pray today would be the day they give their heart and life to you, Lord, and become the heir, one of the many heirs of heaven and joint heirs with Christ. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your promises. And thank you now for this time together to open the Word without fear of persecution. But Lord, the thing we need to fear is ourselves. Sometimes we take it for granted, and we don't give ourselves to you as we should. May we do that this morning. May we give our heart, soul, and mind to you today. So have your way now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you so much. Well, isn't Thanksgiving a wonderful time of year? For many, it is the favorite. It is the top. It is the best. It is a truly American tradition filled with pride in the rich heritage of a very unique nation which has experienced the marvelous blessings of God for these 401 years now. I believe if you go back to 1620, when the pilgrims came to America to be able to freely worship God. What a foundation, what a beginning. This nation was begun because people wanted to worship God. They wanted to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was 401 years ago. That's a long time ago. And we've forgotten God. We've gotten away from God. But I trust we have it here in this church, that we're quick to give thanks and praise and honor and glory to our great God. He is worthy of every ounce of thanks that we can give him. Anyway, Thanksgiving, a time to reflect, a time to pause and consider how we came to have and enjoy all the bounty. I said bounty. You enjoy bounty. How we've come to enjoy all the bounty that is ours in Christ. A time to give thanks. And so we say, I'm giving thanks. I'm thankful. Well, that's wonderful, but that's not enough if that's as far as it goes. Thankful for what? Thankful to whom? That's the question. Thankful to whom? Well, I'm just so thankful, we hear said often. I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, and that's great, we ought to be, but to whom are we giving thanks? You say, I'm thankful for my spouse. Well, that's good. I'm thankful for my job. Well, that's good too. I'm thankful for my preacher. Well, that's really good. But are you thankful to God? That's the key. That's what matters, is being thankful to God for his many blessings. In other words, are you here to enjoy this life by chance, by mere luck of the draw? Or is it that you thank your lucky stars and fate and chance and happenstance and Mother Nature and maybe even karma? No, we don't go there. But anyway, I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for my family. Over and over and over, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for a warm place. I'm thankful for turkey and pumpkin pie. I'm even more thankful for apple pie with ice cream. I'm thankful for a warm bath and dry towels and quiet evenings and cheery days and good health. But you know what? These things don't just happen. They don't just come of themselves. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? In other words, God's saying, what do you have that you didn't receive from somebody? Nothing. Nothing. We are recipients. We're beneficiaries, however you say that word. The Bible says, and that's in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? In other words, everything you have, we receive from someone. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We read in our text, James 1:17. You know, sometimes we dig up a treasure. It's wonderful when you find a treasure of some type. Once in a while, I'll go dig around my backyard hoping I'll find something, some treasure there. No, I'm kidding. That would be fun, though, one of those metal detectors to go around and see people. I had a couple guys one time several years back wouldn't know if they can search my yard with their thingamajigs, whatever I just said it was. I said, yeah, go at it, but I get half of whatever you find. No, I didn't say that. They looked and looked, and they found a few old pliers and tools buried under the ground, but that was about up. But sometimes we dig up a treasure, or we pull ourselves up by the bootstrap. But you know what? The blessing comes down. We may pull ourselves up, but the blessing comes down. Comes down from heaven. Comes down from above. And we must give thanks to God for our blessings. William Bradford wrote in a Plymouth plantation in 1620 concerning the pilgrims. He said to the pilgrims that we ought to render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. And so we ought to render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. Today, tomorrow, every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. Turn to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, if you would. 1 Timothy 6, 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but instead trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. He's worthy of my trust. He's worthy of my devotions. He's worthy of my all. I'm to give him everything, all of me, holding nothing back. For he gives you and me richly all things to enjoy. So today I'm thankful to God who gives. He gives. I'm thankful today to God who gives us richly. I'm thankful to God who gives us richly all things. I'm thankful to God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. To enjoy. God wants you and me to enjoy his gifts and have joy. And even smile. Are you smiling today? Did you smile when you got out of bed after the second cup of coffee? It takes me about that long. Yeah, we smile because God is so good to us. We read in Psalm 104, 27. Well, turn to Psalm 104 and Psalm 104, verse 27. I'll find it. It's just back farther than I thought. Psalm 104, 27. These all wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand and are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, and they die and return to the breast, to the dust. But I like that verse. Thou openest thy hand. It's in there somewhere. Thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. Verse 28. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Anyway, the other is he takes away his hand. Acts chapter 17, verse 25 says, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. God gives to all life. I have life because of him. I have breath because of him. Everything I have is because of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down. Even life and breath and all things. The marvelous, numberless blessings of God to us. They cannot be numbered because they are numerous, right? They are numberless. But is this a habit of our thinking? To talk of our days and our hours and to give thanks? Didn't you think to bless God and thank him that you were able to get out of bed today? Probably not. Probably not. We're just upset that our alarm clock went off again. The Bible says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 34, 1, I will bless the Lord in all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'll bless the Lord all the time. That means I'll thank him all the time. That's what the word bless means. You can substitute the word thanks for bless or bless for thanks. When a person forgets to bless him, he's begun to lose the favor of God. You see, an ungrateful Christian is a man who's no longer in love with God. And if we're ungrateful this morning, that means we need to look at our relationship with God. It's not what it ought to be. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. If we're not grateful, if we're not giving thanks, we're hopeless. We're hopeless. 10 lepers in Luke 17, 17. 10 lepers were healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. How many said, thank you, Lord? 1. 10%. 1 out of 10 went back to thank him. And Jesus said, where were the 9? Where were the 9? We ought to be quick to give thanks. We ought to say thank you. You ought to write thank you notes. Have you ever written a thank you note? You know, I mean a thank you card. You went to Walmart and you actually bought real cards that you can hold in your hands. And they go in an envelope. And you put a stamp on it. And you wrote, thank you for the gift. Thank you for the money. Or thank you for helping me move. Or whatever it is. Send thank you cards. They are appreciated. Because they know you had to go to a little work to do that. And I guess I'm old-fashioned. I don't always do it like I should, but my wife and I still believe in sending thank you notes, even though we don't need to. I mean, after all, we have email, we have Facebook, and all of that, Twitter, but cards are still nice. But would it not be a good thing this morning? Would it be beneficial to us? And would it make the Lord glad if we would remember some of God's benefits to us and thank him for his rich blessings to us? I want us to do that. Just 3 things. I want us to consider 3 things that we're thankful for. And I've shared these before, but it's been a while, so I think it's worthy of our time to look at them again. Number one, I'm thankful for the abundant goodness of God. Are we thankful for that? We ought to be thankful for the abundant goodness of God. God is good, isn't he? God is good all the time. He's always good. Everything God does is good. Forever, everything he has done or will ever do is good. In the beginning, Bible says in Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good. That's in the third verse of our Bible, that it was good. And behold, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 1:31. So in the beginning, God was good. And at the end, at the consummation, God is good. We read in Revelation 21:3, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And that, my friend, is good. God will be with them and be their God. God will be with you, and he is with you, and he is your God today and tomorrow and the next day and forever, and there will never be a day when he is not with you and is not good. That is good. Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Did you know that? You forgot that, didn't you? We forget. God is good. God is good. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 8. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Nehemiah 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. In Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, Moses before God, and the Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness. Abundant. Truth. Keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. His abundant goodness. His abundant goodness, first of all, satisfies. His abundant goodness satisfies. Psalm 107, verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies. He fills your soul and my soul with goodness. He just fills it up. Fills it up. Fills it up. God is good, and his goodness satisfies the longing soul, the hungry soul. If a man is hungry for God, if he longs to know God, that man will be satisfied. That man will be filled. If he longs for the right thing, if he longs for God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5. I don't remember what verse. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, and where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water. My soul they satisfy, don't they? Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we'll be like the woman who had nothing but a piece of bread and water. And lifting up her hands to heaven, she said, what? All this and Christ too? She had more than she knew she deserved. The problem is few of us are hungry for God and so fail to find satisfaction. We look for it in the wrong places. The pleasures and treasures, so-called treasures of this world. The trinkets of this world. The pleasures of this life. They allure, they entice, they make promises of satisfaction. They say, oh, I'll satisfy you. I'll make you happy. I'll make you content. and you'll need nothing more. No, they make promises, but they're empty. They're empty. They entice, they allure, they make promise of satisfaction, but they never keep their promise. They're like a lot of our politicians, right? Promise, promise, promise. Lie, 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 right? Well, God keeps his promise. God keeps his promise. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full, and the eyes of man are never satisfied. That's true. The eyes of man are never satisfied with the things of this life, with the things of my flesh. Never full. I'm never full. And boy, I experienced that before I was saved. That every day I was consumed with that. I'm not happy. There's something. I'm missing something. I don't know what it is, but I'm missing something. Well, I didn't know that something was God. I was missing God. I had rejected him. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. However, as for me, David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 17:15. When my eyes see God, I'm going to be satisfied. When I wake up in glory with God's likeness, then we'll be totally, completely, eternally satisfied. We'll experience satisfaction that we never even knew was possible in that day. When my eyes see God, wealth, money, things never quite cut the mustard, do they? Never quite satisfy. Ecclesiastes 4:8, there is no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Man works and works, labors and labors to get ahead, and he never does. Or when he gets ahead, he's never really ahead. He still feels like he's got more. He's got to labor more. And not quite there yet. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. You put your heart and your love on money, you're never going to be happy. I just need a little more. Just a little more. When they say that the millionaire or billionaire, what more do you want? And the answer, just a little more. Just a little more. Now, he that loves silver, not be satisfied with silver. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. When you get more, you need more. That seems to be how it works. The more groceries that mom buys, the more groceries that the kids eat, right? It doesn't matter how much you buy. It's all going to get eaten, and you're going to run out again. You get that new car. Wow, we got a new car. But what do you get? Higher taxes, higher repair bills, more costly repairs. I found that out. We got a Lincoln Continental one time. It was about 10 years old. It was an older model, but it was nice. Leather seats, all power, everything. Mirrors had their defrost on the mirrors. And when you open the car door, the seat moved by itself to adjust to you. I thought, wow, feel like I've died, gone to heaven. But then we had problems. We took it to the repair shop. And I found out real quickly, I can't afford to keep this car. The air shocks quit working. And I took it in to get new air shocks and found out they're going to be $600 each. And there are four of them. So I sold that Lincoln without new air shocks on it. I thought, I got to get rid of this thing. So that's what happens. It never quite satisfies. Now, material things, riches, are a blessing from God, and we're to enjoy God's blessing, but we need to remember, keep it all in perspective, they don't satisfy. They don't satisfy. You know, my house is worth a lot more than when I bought it. When I bought it, I mean, I bought that thing for, what did we pay for it, $15,000? Yeah, we bought our house for $15,000. Oh, and that wasn't last year. That was a long time ago. But what do I get? Well, it's worth a lot more now, and I pay more taxes. I didn't pay many taxes when our house was worth $15,000, but now I don't like it that the value's gone up because the taxes go up. listen to God and heed his. You can turn there, Isaiah 55 and verse 2. Isaiah 55 verse 2. We read, wherefore, or why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. In other words, eat the good things that God gives, the blessings that come from him, the spiritual things as well. But don't spend all your money on things that never satisfy. And the things of this earth do not satisfy. By the way, men, talk to men for a minute. Do you know that your wife, you that are married, do you know that your wife would rather have you than money? I really believe that. She would rather have you than money. She would rather have you than a new home. Now, by you, I don't mean your paycheck or your presence. Well, she has me. No, I mean your heart. She would rather have you. She would rather have your heart than money, than things. She wants your heart and your love and your spiritual leadership. She craves for you to be her spiritual head, her leader. God has made you to satisfy her in that way. And she will not be satisfied with other things. She needs you. Have you given yourself to her? Are you leading her in the way you should? You need to give yourself to her. Well, the goodness of God satisfies. Secondly, the goodness of God sanctifies. Or it saves, sanctifies. Look at Romans 2, verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. We read in Romans 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? The goodness of God leads thee to repentance. The goodness of God sanctifies. Men despise the riches of God's goodness today. That means they lightly regard it. They have a wrong estimate of its worth. They don't think the goodness of God is worth much. They'd rather have stuff, things that don't satisfy. They suppose that they're... They suppose that their goodness gives them that his goodness, they assume that God's goodness gives them a license to sin. Well, you know, everything's going good and I sin and nothing happens, so I'm fine, you know. So they say, well, God's given me a license to sin, and they imagine that God will not punish. But God's goodness leads a man to forsake his sin and to put it off and to repent. That's what God's goodness does. It leads us to repentance, not to indulge in sin. And a man may sin against God from his youth to adulthood, and he professes his name, and he provokes his wrath, and yet God's anger and his mercy is turned away. In wrath, God remembers mercy, and the man lives. He's long-suffering, and he's patient, and he's kind, in spite of all the rebelliousness of the sinner's heart against God and against his rich goodness. He can lead that man to repentance. And he leads you and me to turn to him and forsake the way of death. For surely his sin, our sin, will lead to death. The wages of sin is death. The end of the matter is death after all that. I'm so thankful it's God's goodness that has led me. He never coerces. He never drives like a wild beast. He leads us. He leads us. So I'm thankful for God's abundant goodness. It satisfies. It sanctifies. Secondly, I'm thankful for the absolute glory of God. I'm thankful for the abundant goodness of God, and I'm thankful for the absolute glory of God. You see, God is a glorious God. He's glorious. We can't begin to comprehend what it will be to be in His presence. God is a glorious God, and His glory, His beauty and majesty and splendor is absolute, is perfect, is complete. It belongs to no other but God. He will not share His glory with another. We read in, well, turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. And I just found out Isaiah is not in the minor prophets. So I'll save you time. I already looked there. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things new declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down in the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the islands. Give glory unto the Lord. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I will not give to another. In this song of Moses, who Moses sang after the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus 15:11, then sang Moses and the children of Israel, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in wonder, doing fearful in praises, doing wonders? The glory of the Lord. You know, the glory of man is so short-lived. It's so temporary, so earthly. It's like the flower of the field. It appears and then vanishes away. It's gone. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We used to have morning glories grow on our fence, and all those blue morning glories, they were beautiful in the morning, but you know, about halfway through the morning, they started wilting. The sun hit them, and they were only good for the morning. And that's our glory. It's not very long-lived. But I'm glad that this transcendent glory is not kept from us. I'm glad that it is a revealed glory. It's a revealed glory. Look at Exodus 33, and, well, didn't we already look at this? Well, it was revealed to Moses. I'll just mention this. We'll not look. But it was revealed, God revealed His glory to Moses in Exodus 33:18-23, where He said, show me thy glory. And God showed him His back parts. And He said, no man can see my face and live. And it was a revealed glory in nature. In nature, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. In other words, the heavens are telling. They're telling all the time. They're talking all the time about the glory of God. Every time we look in the sky, if we look and see the lunar eclipse, what are we seeing there? A scientific phenomenon? No, we're seeing the glory of God. God did that. God puts the planets in their orbits, in their places. God gives us the sun and the moon and all those things above. And so the heavens are telling the glory of God. So it's a revealed glory to Moses. It's a revealed glory in nature. And it's a revealed glory in Christ. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. It's the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld His glory. Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, who being the brightness of His glory, and express image of His person, and upholding all things by by the word of His power. Jesus is the brightness of His glory. But it's not only a revealed glory, it's a shared glory. The glory of God will be shared with His children And that glory was made possible through the suffering of Christ. That's why we are heirs, why we can share in that glory, because he suffered. Luke 24:26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Yeah. Jesus suffered in bringing many sons to glory. We read in Hebrews 2:9-10. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angel, crowned with glory and honor, tasting death for every man, and he's bringing many sons to glory. God shares his glory with us. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 14, where we see that. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. And I love verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us. Going through a hard time, experiencing suffering, heartache, difficulty, we all do, we all are in one way or another. Know that it isn't even worth comparing with the glory that's coming. When that glory comes and we enter into that glory, we're going to forget all about these things. They'll mean nothing. Colossians 3:14, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And in 2 Peter 1:3-4, we read that God has called us to glory and that we're partakers of the divine nature. It's by God's grace. I mean, it's amazing that we are partakers of God's nature. So I'm thankful for the absolute glory of God. It's a revealed glory, a shared glory. Spurgeon said, I feel like that old saint who said that if she got to heaven, Jesus Christ should never hear the end of it. Truly, he never shall. Well, and then finally, I'm thankful for the available grace of God. I'm thankful for the available grace of God. It's available grace. We would never experience the goodness of God if not for the grace of God. We would never see or share the glory of God if not for the grace of God. And his grace is appropriated by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8. God doesn't sprinkle grace out of a salt shaker. It's abundant. It's sufficient, sufficient grace. God's grace is sufficient for dysfunctional families. And your family is dysfunctional because your family has sinners in it. And most sinners that I know of are dysfunctional, apart from the grace of God, right? You know, I hear about, well, I grew up in a dysfunctional home. Well, I did too. And my kids did too, you know. Yeah, we're all dysfunctional some way, but thank God for his grace. In fact, I didn't know there are some families who are not dysfunctional, who don't have some type of problem. We all do. But whatever happened to the grace of God in helping us deal with our problems? Where's our trust in an all-powerful and all-caring God and Savior to meet every need, including the social and emotional? God's grace is sufficient. I'm not saying we shouldn't get other help. Yes, we should when there can other help is available, but not to the neglect of God. That grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for the drunkard. It's sufficient for the adulterer. It's sufficient for the homosexual. It's grace sufficient for you. For you. It was sufficient for Paul when he said, that unto me my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And how can one be strong when he is weak? By God's grace. So we ought to be glad for God's grace. So the grace of God is sufficient, and God's grace saves. God's grace saves. By grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. God's grace is available grace. It's available for you and me right now. And God wants you, and his heart yearns for you. And he loves you, and God wants to share his glory with you forever and ever and ever. So I'm glad. I'm glad that God's grace is so available that he can save every single person sitting here now, and he will save any and all who come to him as you are. As you are. Spurgeon said, and I close with this, if I didn't praise and bless Christ my Lord, I should deserve to have my tongue torn out by its roots from my mouth. If I did not bless and magnify his name, I should deserve that every stone I tread on in the street should rise up to curse my ingratitude. For I am a drowned debtor to the mercy of God, over head and ears, to the infinite love and boundless compassion, I am debtor. Are you not the same? Then I charge you by the love of Christ, awake, awake your hearts now to magnify his glorious name. We need to wake up, get up, and look up, and God's grace will come down and meet our every single need. I'm thankful. We need to be thankful today for God's goodness and his grace, his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together tonight, today, and pray your blessing upon us as we close. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving us, meeting our every need, though we are so unworthy, and it's only by your wonderful, marvelous, matchless grace, Lord, and for that we thank you, and we will be praising you forever and ever and ever. We ask your blessing now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.